Hello and welcome to SBN Newsmakers. I'm your host, Steve Lubetkin. SBN Newsmakers is a new production from State Broadcast News, and it harkens back to an experience I had almost 50 years ago when I was first working in over-the-air radio at WJLK in Asbury Park, New Jersey. The news director there, Jack Christie, who was a veteran of the Eisenhower White House press office, was the host of a program called Newsmakers. He interviewed some of the public policy officials and other people around the state of New Jersey who were making news. And I'm very pleased that we're able to bring the program back to the air over the internet in the new world of podcasting. So please stay with us and subscribe to the SBN Newsmakers podcast at statebroadcastnews.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Hello and welcome to the program. Rajni Karaturi is a Monroe Township, New Jersey computer consultant. For 20 days recently, she traded computers for a sailor's uniform to participate in one of the world's most ambitious yacht races. Rajni was part of a crew sailing 5,000 miles from Cape Town to Fremantle, Australia. She's one of almost 700 ordinary people from all over the world who took part in the Clipper Round the World Yacht Race. It's a global sailing race where anyone over the age of 18 who's brave enough to go out on the ship can experience Mother Nature in a raw and powerful glory. What makes Rajni's achievement all the more remarkable is that she became hooked after seeing an ad for the Epic Endurance Challenge on Facebook. After departing Cape Town, Rajni and her crewmates raced for 24 hours a day for more than 3 weeks. They faced blistering heat, windless zones, and freezing cold temperatures, waves taller than buildings, and wind speeds of over 70 miles an hour in the Southern Ocean. Rajni's here in the studio to talk about the experience. So I'm pleased to welcome Rajni Karaturi to the studio to talk a little bit about the Clipper Yacht Race and how she got involved in it. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So what made you decide that sailing was something you wanted to do at this point in your life?
Actually, it was not in the radar at all. One day last year around this time, I happened to see an ad on Facebook saying, this is the race of your life. And I got curious and I started browsing through the website. I started looking in and I talked to my family and I called my husband and I said, this is something I'm considering. Let me put myself through the process and we'll see how it goes. Initially, the answer was, I'm not so sure. And my daughter said the same thing. My son was, okay, if you want to try. So I filled out the application and set a schedule for an interview with Clipper. And I got the call and I was nervous, but I was upfront. I told him that I never sailed before and very nervous about it. And one of the weaknesses when he asked me, I said, I'm not very confident. I grew up in India. I don't know anything. And he said, he asked me a lot of questions on my personality. Like, what is more important to you? How do you see life? Tell me all the things you did so far that are out of your comfort zone. And we talked for a long time and he said, I'll get back to you. And he cleared me at the interview.
So it was more of a, what kind of a person are you rather than what kind of a sailor are you?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. But how do you go from being a computer engineer, your software engineer?
Yes.
How do you go from that to preparing for sailing on a yacht in the ocean?
Yeah. So that's when the training part started. It's a four-week training from Gosport, UK. I went in the first 2 weeks. I did back-to-back, level one and two. Went to Gosport by myself with all the gear that they suggested as the packing items. Very new, very nervous. Went on the yacht. Whole new world for me. I never lived in a marina before. The first day I went there, evening, first meeting, skipper and the first mate started introducing everybody. There are 11 of us and no other Indian. There are other women. And then we started going from there. And I was not able to understand a lot of terminology to begin with. I was struggling to put the pieces together, but everybody was very helpful. And every day we would learn a lot of things. I would get nervous. I would start the day with nervousness, and then I would end the day with, oh, I know this now. And then tomorrow morning it starts again. And new stuff is thrown at me. I would get confused. By the end of the day, I would sit down and then write everything down and prepare myself for living the yacht and admire the world while understanding sailing.
So you sailed from where to where in your 20-day excursion?
20-day excursion is from Fremantle, Australia, on the western side, underneath Tasmania, around, and then go north up to Early Beach on the eastern side of Australia.
So how many miles would that be?
That is 3,415 nautical miles, which is equal to 3,848 regular miles.
And what was it like? You don't have any sailing experience before this.
None.
What was it like being out there in the middle of the ocean? This is Pacific Ocean, right?
Yeah.
It's big, it's deep.
Yeah. Started in the Indian Ocean, went to Southern Ocean, and then the Coral Sea and the Tasmanian Sea and the Coral Sea, yeah.
What were you thinking?
I went from this is awesome to this is terrifying, and this is okay and awesome and terrifying. It went through for a while, and then after a few days, I got a hang of it. Initially, first 2 days, actually, seasickness bothered me a lot. I started vomiting and...
Well, that can't be good.
No. But it started off like that, and then in 36 hours, I got over seasickness, and then I started getting involved more and more, and everybody was very helpful. There were 16 of us on the yacht.
How many yachts are in the race?
11.
And how do you score points? How do you decide who's won the race?
So when you start from a port, there'll be a scoring gate. So whoever reaches scoring gate first gets 3 points, second one gets 2, and the third one gets 1, and the rest of the team doesn't get anything. And then after scoring gate, there is a sprint, which is they draw two lines right in the ocean, and they say between the two lines, whoever finishes the distance between the lines first, they get 3 points, the second one get 2, and the third one get 1, and others don't get anything. When you reach the finish line to the other port, your arrival port, first one who reaches there get 11 points, second one get 10, and then so on.
What are some of the things you learned about yourself from this experience? What did you take away?
A lot. To begin with, I even today pinch myself sometimes and say, did I really do that? Because I never thought I would do something like that. Staying away from my family for 20 days with strangers in a confined space, sailing with water around me, and eating canned food, living in a bunk, with no prior experience. This is totally out of my comfort zone. Nobody in my family, friends, nobody ever done something like this. I sometimes ask the same question myself, like, why am I doing this? And the answer always is, growing up, I always felt that there is more to life. I grew up in a farming family in a middle-class environment in India, in a village. So the way I used to feel is, I'm stuck in this little village, and there's a huge world around me going fast with wonderful things. And I want to see that world, but I don't know how. I think that's what drives me to push myself. And that, I think, is fulfilled now. Now I feel like I have seen the world. At least I have tasted some of it. I think that's the...
What kind of message would you want your experience to send to other career, you know, women who have careers and families already,
right,
like you do? And what message to younger women about what they can aspire to?
Right. Oh, definitely younger women. See, for me, the disadvantage is my age. I had trouble sometimes grinding the sheet to the appropriate level. I would ask for help sometimes. I wish I had done this earlier. It's a whole new world. I know there is unknown. I know there is this feeling that why or how or what it is, but just if I can do it, anybody can do it. So push yourself, see what's out of your comfort zone, and it's beautiful. You would never trade it with anything else. It's just awesome.
Before we went on the air, you were talking about learning how to tie knots. Talk a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, that's one of the things I would do to prepare myself. And there are around 8 knots that we are taught, and we are supposed to learn, like, even in your sleep, you should be able to remember and quickly do it. So I would practice them. I have the rope here.
So what are the, describe the different knots.
Bowline is a very popular one, which is the one that you tie to the clue after any sail, and then you would have 2 sheets coming in. One is the lazy and one is the active sheet. And then admiralty knot, which is also called stopper knot. Figure 8.
It's not a quiz. You don't have to remember all of them. But a couple of them is good.
Yeah.
What else did you bring? Describe the other things that you have here for us to take a look at.
My gear, which is a waterproof gear that you would wear. And it's water keeps splashing onto the deck when you are on the watch. So you have to protect yourself, especially when you are in the Southern Ocean, which is very cold. So the gear is hard to put it on because it has a leather, like plastic thing that keeps it tight and don't let the cold weather or water come in. So if you don't fold it properly, and it's tight too, it has to secure, to keep you warm and secure. So it's hard to put it in and pull it out, and you have to do it in the middle of the night. Say, suppose you are in
an 11 to... You have to do it quickly.
Yes, and 11 to 3 watch. So you have to really put it on quickly and go on the deck so the other watch can go down and go to bed. So the night watches are like 3-4 hours. 7 to 11, 11 to 3, 3 to 7 again. And the day watches are 6 hours. So 7 to 1 o'clock and 1 to 7, 6 hours. So they wake you up 20 minutes before your watch. Somebody comes down and wakes us up. And then you have to go brush your teeth, do your business, and then put on the gear and go have something hot to drink if you want, and then go up and drink, send them down so they can get ready for their sleep. And then you have to fold your sleeping bag and pull their out and put it on the bunk so they are ready to sleep. Yeah, you are supposed to do this very quickly and then put your life jacket on and go up. So I would practice that. I got that. And then
you said something about a logbook. You kept a logbook.
Yes.
Of the trip?
That's something that brings me a lot of joy. I look at it with a lot of pride.
Show us your logbook. Talk a little bit about that.
So this is the logbook, and these are the entries for my training. And this is my actual trip entry. This is the one that says 3,848 miles. Mm-hmm. I have right now a little over 4,500 nautical miles on it. And once you cross 5,000 miles, I think you can get a swallow tattooed on you. I may not get it, but there is, when you sail through an equator, you get turtle
right.
Tattooed.
All right.
And then if you cover all the capes, I forgot what it is, but you get, it's like a CV on your body, your resume.
It tells your story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And where do you go from here? What's the next sailing voyage, or is there one? And your husband is here watching us tape this, so maybe he doesn't know that you have something else planned.
I haven't decided yet, but right now I'm looking at the race and I miss it. I I will sail more, but I don't know. I don't have a plan concrete yet.
But it sounds like it was a life-changing experience for you.
Absolutely. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
How do you go back to your regular work now?
Yeah.
What do people say at work?
I started back work this Tuesday, actually. And it's amazing. They're all very surprised to begin with. I did this. And then they're very supportive. All my friends, my family, whenever I was down. I was homesick a couple of times on the boat too. Mm. And the team was very great. And we put things in place, meaning I took an album. I took my friends' messages with me to keep reminding myself that I have support back home.
Did you have communications with home? Were you able to?
No. There is a way that you can keep in touch. I took the service to email just my family. Mm-hmm. But there is a service that you can buy where you can call them. They can't call you.
Right.
But everything is monitored, meaning you cannot seek outside support to help the race. So it's
very
simple.
Communication. Yeah. So you have to do it pretty much self-contained.
Correct.
Wow. That's great. Rajini, thanks very much for joining us today. We appreciate it. And congratulations on your success.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you for joining us. We'll have more information about Rajini's experience in the Clipper Yacht Race on the State Broadcast News website on the show notes page for this video. If you have any comments or suggestions, you can send them to me, Steve, at statebroadcastnews.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.